on this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Psychology of reality. Where does reality come from anyway? Stick with us. We'll show you it comes from a place which you may not expect, and it's closer than you could have ever imagined.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Hey guys, welcome today, and we're going to talk about the lens of perception, the psychology of reality. And we live in a world that talks about placing responsibility on those around us. They made me do it. You made me feel that way. It's your fault. The devil made me do it. But we're going to talk today that that's actually not the case, because you can look at your the reality that your brain creates, and your brain does create it. We talked about earlier that it may be closer than you ever imagined, and it is. Reality is created on the inside of the vault of your skull. And I love metaphors. You might think of it as your mind is a canvas onto which you paint with the paintbrush of your own reality. You paint reality onto your mind, and then you project it out there. Now, do you have complete control of that? Well, of course not. But we're going to talk today about what amount of control that you do have. And so I hope that you stick with us so that you can apply some of these strategies and principles coming up next, as you understand how your mental health really is based on your perception and your perspective.
All right, everybody, let's talk a little bit about perception. So I actually have a pretty good definition here, and I'm going to read it to you. The process of recognizing and interpreting sensory stimuli. The thing you have to understand about perception is that everybody has a different perception of different situations. So you may have five people who experience the exact same situation, but their perspective on that situation is going to be very different. Now, our perception is based in our cognitions, so how we choose to think about a situation. And if we choose to think about it in a way that's unhealthy, it can eventually affect the way that we perceive similar situations and really any situation in our life. We kind of end up in a bit of a downward spiral, thinking of everything in a negative sense. So where one person may observe a rainy day and think, oh, this is just horrible. I'm going to get wet on my way to work. This is going to suck. Well, that's their perception. I may think, you know what? It is a beautiful day. Even though it's raining, the flowers are going to grow. The grass is going to get greener. And I get to jump in puddles on my way to work.
Well, I like to think of it as perceptions about like taste buds. I remember a friend of mine came over here from China, and he said, you guys eat the most disgusting food. And I said, really, Jack? What food is that? He said, it's this nasty stuff. It's round. It's called pizza. I'm like, wow, you don't like pizza? And in Jack's country, we had hot pot, which was a big table with a pot in the middle of it and a propane burner beneath it. And we were brought on a platter, a plate of chicken that was really a plucked chicken with everything, you know, but the feathers that looked like it had been run over by a lawnmower, and the darn head was sitting right on top of it. And I said, Jack, you get the head. And Jack said, oh, I love the head. And I could hear him crunching the darn thing in his mouth. So to Jack, the half-cooked, because to cook this stuff, you really pick it up with your fingers and hold it just in the water long enough to heat it up. So Jack was eating a lukewarm chicken head and liked it more than pizza. So he had taught his brain that that's what he preferred. And that's what he seeks after, that type of food. And based on what Sarah said, you can begin to seek out reality in the same way.
But another way to look at perception, too, is we have events, situations, circumstances, things that happen in life, things that are outside of our control. We can't change the things that are happening, but what we can change is our perception. We can change what we decide to tell ourselves about a situation.
Well, I think that people get very sabotaged by, or they let themselves be sabotaged by their own thinking because they begin to tell themselves there's only one way to think about this. There's really no other way to think about it. And an exercise, and we'll get into strategies in a moment, but an exercise is to write down the event and then brainstorm what are all the other different ways of thinking about it. Imagine that canvas and you have a whole array of paints. Well, why would you just choose one paint? Why not ask yourself, well, what other colors, what other brushes can I use with that? And I just think it's very empowering looking at it that way.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important, too, to remember that different people have different realities. So if somebody is saying something to you and you think it's a little bit strange, instead of just kind of jumping down their throat, it might be a good idea to ask them, well, you know, what is your perception of the situation? Where did that kind of come from?
Yeah, you could even start out with, yeah, I'm really interested in how you're choosing to think about that. People talk about asking people how they feel. Well, that's starting at the wrong end of the equation. Start out with what they're thinking, because what they're thinking is what is manufacturing what they are feeling. And those thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes, the way you choose to look at things, those are those paintbrushes. You're literally painting your own canvas onto your own canvas of reality in that moment. One of my favorite philosophers, I don't have him hanging here out with the other philosophers if you guys are watching this on video, but Camus, the famous French-Algerian philosopher, existentialist philosopher, would say that life has no meaning. And I really, you know, as a young philosopher, struggled with that for years. Life has no meaning. Does life have no meaning? And it doesn't, if you think of it this way, that the meaning of life does not come pre-painted for you from Hobby Lobby. You have to get the canvas and paint meaning onto your life yourself with your own paintbrushes of perception. What are those? Well, we just listed those. Those would be cognitive biases. Those would be thoughts, both accurate and inaccurate, realistic and unrealistic. You know, you get to choose your paintbrushes. And but that brings us to what's the importance of a healthy perspective.
If you have like an unhealthy perspective, you'll have those cognitive distortions and like lead to catastrophizing and maximizing, blowing things out of proportion, or just looking at things and jumping down someone's throat. But if you have a healthy perspective and you have an open mind to differences with like other people have different perspectives and kind of taking all into consideration, or just looking at the metaphor, the glass is half empty, the glass is half full, you know, different people's perspective, that's a good way to look at it. Is some people will look at a glass that has a little bit of, you know, about a half of liquid in it, and it can be half empty or half full, depending on how you look at it. The same goes with life. Your life, whether you look at it from a healthy perspective or a negative, like unhealthy perspective, it can look either half empty or half full.
The Therapy Bites podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed by Therapy Bites podcast hosts or Therapy Bites podcast guests without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories are de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the ethical principles of psychologists and code of conduct. Fresh from the therapy couch and from the deep dark recesses, stories may involve exploding preconceived notions and topics uncomfortable to underthinkers and small farm animals. Audience discretion and duct taping your head for safety is advised. Concrete-headed Kool-Aid drinking humans assume all risks associated with any possibility of choking to death on the accurate, realistic thoughts presented in the art lab. This is natural selection, and Therapy Bites podcast management and hosts are not responsible.
Let's talk about respect and hot potato thoughts. Well, John's greatest struggle in his relationships was thinking that others didn't respect him, that his kids didn't respect him, that his wife didn't respect him. He believed that when someone voiced any opinion contrary to his, that reduced the value of his own opinions. Unless you were for him, you were against him. Unless you agreed with him, you were disrespecting him. Well, why do some people have problems with hearing out others' opinions and perspectives? Well, because creating a space for the opinions of others is a skill. But good news, it's a skill that can be developed. This requires the accurate belief that entertaining an opinion differing from your own is not a threat to you. This is not a competition of truth. None have a corner on truth. Truth is a grander, greater thing. This is POV. And what I mean by that is perspective, opinion, and viewpoint. POV is essential for cultivating relationships to a deeper level. POV is not a threat to you. The POV of another person is not a threat to you. It does not devalue your POV, even though it may disagree. POV is not a weapon, and certainly, listen up, men, is not emasculating. Actually, the ability to entertain the opinions of others, well, such as your wife, one of the greatest gifts you can give your wife is to create a space for her opinion on the same level, actually higher than your own. Make a practice of lifting her up. Actually, respecting someone else's POV and making space for it is the most masculine thing that you could possibly do.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab, bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
For full show notes and transcript of today's episode, go to therapybites.podbean.com.
Here's Heath and the T-Ball Team.
Either half empty or half full.
Yeah, if you think about it that way, you're already lighting up a disgust mechanism in your brain for the proposed activity. You're actually telling yourself that the proposed activity may be dangerous to you. But another thing I want to point out is the value in using the paint sets and the brush sets of other people by getting their perspective, because speaking, as Heather said, metaphorically, that can help you paint a more pleasing canvas for your life, because we don't come to this planet with all the paint sets and all the brush sets. And that's the purpose of having other people in our life and saying, hey, this is the way I'm looking at it. What do you think? And then it is a collaborative painting. And if you clinicians listening, this is what happens in therapy, or what should happen in therapy, is the goal may be a certain type of painting for this person's life. And in therapy, you collaborate using a bit of their paints and your paints as a professional, their brushes, your brushes as a professional. You know, Bob Ross, everybody's favorite happy painter, he didn't paint everybody's painting. He taught them how to paint their own painting. He collaborated with them in their classes. And what are some other aspects of developing a healthy perspective as far as how it impacts specific areas of people's lives, do you think?
Whatever we practice is what's going to become our automatic response. So if we do practice that unhealthy perspective, it's going to bleed over into every aspect of our life. So when I have potentially difficult situations now or difficult conversation, if I can have that right now and have a healthy perspective on it, then in the future, when more difficult situations or conversations come up, I'm going to be better prepared to have that conversation. So I'm doing now what's going to help me in the future.
And let's jump right into some actual tools. And here's a very, very basic tool that we try to use with every client that we have in our coaching in the Art Lab Studio, an ABC sheet or an ABC thought record. There are many types of thought record. This is just one, and you don't have to have a special tool or special piece of paper. You can write this down on a sheet of paper. Start out with a situation. That's your A part. Then decide, what are you deciding to think about that situation? That's your B part. And then the C is the consequence. What's the consequence? Well, your emotions. Here's a list. Sad, mad, glad, disgusted, ashamed, stressed, depressed, anxious, angry, joy, or pleasure. You notice I left off happy because happy is not an emotion, but that's a topic for a different show. And I left off love because emotion Love is not emotion either. Again, a whole show we could do on that. And then you go back to the B part and you ask yourself, well, how accurate and realistic is this thing I'm deciding to think? And you are deciding to think. Don't farm out your thinking to someone else. This is what you're deciding to think. The good news is you could decide to think differently. The question is, what thought process best serves your life? Pick a couple and then practice those couple regularly. That is your restructured thought. What are some other techniques that you guys have heard folks use?
Ooh, kind of along with the ABC technique, this is something that you can actually find online. I believe it's in the Veteran CPT manual, but it's called a challenging questions worksheet. There's 10 questions on it, but sometimes people have a hard time just memorizing those 10 questions. So I encourage them to focus on at least two of them. Is this thought or belief based on fact, or is it based on feelings? And then also, is it based on a habit, or is it based on fact? Those are two I like to really focus on, because if I notice that I'm just experiencing an emotion and I'm basing my what I'm choosing to think about that situation because of that emotion, that's not accurate. It's not going to be healthy or helpful.
And that's a really great segue into the next part of this particular episode, and we'll wrap up with some final thoughts here. And that is that thinking can become a pattern. It can become habitual in those ways. One is you might always think that this person doing A means they disrespect me. And then every time they do it, you will think you're being disrespected. But that's kind of stinking thinking. That's kind of head trash, as one of our guests, I think it was Danny Brussell, talked about. You can look up that episode. That's head trash. Go back and really challenge that. The other thing that Sarah pointed out there is you can pair or associate a certain emotion with a conclusion. But emotions aren't made to lead to conclusions. Emotions are part of what we call in the Art Lab the brain's WIT system, W-I-T. What is this? When you have an emotion, the only important thing is asking, what is this? What is this? Investigate your own thinking. Hold your proverbial toes to the fire and ask yourself, now, wait a minute. This is just an emotion. Emotions make for a really lousy compass in life. Emotions can't tell you what is north or what is south. Emotions can't tell you someone loves you or they do not. Emotion can't tell you if you have cancer or you don't. You need a test for that. And so emotions are not a great compass. So your brain, though, can get in a habit of every time in the presence of an emotion, you come to a conclusion, but that can be short-circuited and rewired, re-engineered. Let's finish up with some final thoughts, folks, and then we will look forward to seeing you here next time as we drop an episode every Wednesday. But some of the main points are that we sculpt, paint, whatever metaphor you want to use, reality inside of our brain. And I'd like to go around to our very talented licensed clinicians here. How do you guys struggle and succeed at sculpting, painting accurate, realistic thoughts inside of your own minds?
For me, the first step is bringing awareness to it. Mm-hmm. I need to bring awareness to thoughts that are not serving me well. And sometimes for myself, I kind of do the process backwards. So, you know, Dr. Heath talked about the ABC model. Sometimes I have to start with C. Yes. I notice a behavior that I don't really like, and I have to go back and think, okay, where is that coming from?
Yeah, and I want to point out that the C part, I did leave that out, that the C part is both emotion and behavior, because both emotion and behavior come from the same manufacturing facility, and that is the thought facility inside of our brain. We get to decide what to think, but we first engineer our thoughts, and our thoughts engineer our emotions, behaviors, our lives as a whole.
First thing I do when I notice something, like Sarah said, when I notice something that's limiting or a behavior or, you know, a difficult emotion, I'll ask myself, what am I thinking? And I'll challenge, as we've talked about today, I'll challenge those thoughts. And also a lot of times I'll ask myself, if a friend came to me or if a client comes to me and presents this same thing to me, what would I say? What would I tell them? And what I tell them is exactly what I should tell myself as well.
Yep, that is a bit of a Kantian. I have my little dead philosopher's club here, Immanuel Kant. Yeah, apply. Ask if you can apply what you're doing to the lives of other people. What would you encourage your son or daughter to do? If you had a coaching client, what would you encourage them to do? If you're a therapist, what would you include a patient or a client to do? And then put some shoe leather on that and do that same thing yourself. I would like to recommend begin by focusing on your breathing, a deep breath on the in-breath, and then focus on the out-breath, and then challenge those thoughts. I'm going to ask you guys, you T-ballers, Therapy Bites, Art Labbers, to really, really challenge yourself this week to look at your own thinking. Is it accurate? Does it serve your life? Does it serve your relationships? Does it point your life in the proper direction, a healthy direction? And if not, well, what would you do if you found out you're headed down the wrong road to a chosen destination? You would change your road. So let's think about doing that. Thank you for joining us. Come back and catch us next time. Appreciate you guys being a part of our journey here in the Therapy Bites Art Lab. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Bye. See ya.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team.